If I have sin, I'll mourn of it. I'm going to walk in poor in spirit. Joseph did all of that, walked meekly before the Lord, meekly before those that attacked him, but gentleness with those that he interacted with. Joseph, right? We could look at the whole Bible. We could look at the Bible, that illustration, right? This is what Jesus is describing. Protus is not really readily expressed in English, the dictionary says, since meekness suggests weakness. But it's a condition of the mind and the heart which demonstrates gentleness not in weakness but in power. It is a balance born in strength of character. MacArthur would say it this way. Gentleness or meekness has nothing to do with weakness, timidity, indifference, or cowardice. It is used as wild animals that were tamed, especially the horses that were broken and trained. Such an animal still of his master. That's what Jesus is talking about. So from all of that, let me give you a good definition of understanding what meekness is. It is an attitude of your new life in Christ. It's an attitude of your new life in Christ. So the world can't have it. It's an attitude of your new life in Christ and inward grace of the soul. The world can't have it. It's not in humanity. It's an attitude of your new life in Christ and inward grace of the soul that accepts God's dealings of this life, whether good or difficult. That accepts God's dealings of this life, whether good or difficult. Where your will is under the control of your master or Lord. Where your will is under the control of your master or Lord, that demonstrates gentleness toward others. That demonstrates gentleness towards others. Blessed are the meek, for they'd inherit the king, they'll inherit the earth. That's what Jesus means by protus. That's what he's talking about. Happy is the soul, those that walk meekly before God, meekly before the things in this life that come against them, that aren't prideful, not arrogant, trusting in, accepting that these in the providence of God are going to come our way and we are gentle toward others. That's good, isn't it? That's what he's talking about. It won't come into life unless you walk poor in spirit and humbly before God. You're not weak or cowardice. You're meek before the Lord in regards to yourself and gentle in dealings with others. You saw that in Psalm 37, right? That's why I read that today. Again, this is not a natural tendency of humanity. It's only brought forth out of the life of those who belong to Christ's kingdom that have the kingdom life within them. Let me show you two things today, the rest of our time, two ways. Go ahead and that this kind of fleshes out so we can apply this to Scripture so we can see the life of this. Blessed are the meek. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to say a few things before we get there, but I'll give you time here. I'll give us kind of like two illustrations, two kind of ways this works out in God's Word so we can grab hold of this and have a good concept of this. Let me build up to this passage of Philippians 2. You there with me? We'll begin in verse 5. Meekness, so I'm looking at this, is essentially a true view of oneself, okay, expressed itself in attitude and conduct with respect to others. All right, so I want you to think of the Lord Jesus, right? True view of himself, right, and how his conduct was with others and how his relationship with God the Father was, right? Meekness, it follows being poor in spirit and mourning. A person can never be meek unless he's poor in spirit. You guys get that, right? Right, this is what Jesus is teaching, why this is why the order, this is why they're that way. A person can never be meek unless he has seen himself as a sinner, right? There are other things that must come first. But when I have a true view of myself, you have a true view of yourself in terms of your poverty of spirit and mourning because of your sinfulness, you are led to see that you must be a life with absence of pride. You must be meek. A meek person is not proud of himself. He or she does not, in any sense, glory in himself. And I'm kind of setting up where we're going to go here. Trying to read my notes. I scribbled a lot. You guys want to see? Scribbled. Here it is. A meek person does not take all his rights as claims. You do not make or demand your position or your privileges or your possessions or your status in life. It's like the Lord Jesus. Look at Philippians 2. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, people, you're going to see it's the humility of mind. Attitude, that's mind. That's your mind attitude. This word is closely connected, mind attitude, humility of mind, meekness. It's really closely connected. It's what he's talking about. So have this humility of mind like the Lord Jesus Christ, this attitude in your mind of meekness. This kind of meekness, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of a man, being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That obedience, that meekness before God. It's not what I deserve. It's not what I should get. I know who I am before the Lord. I'm poor in spirit. I'm going to walk like Christ, even though he was the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. He humbled himself to be obedient, humbled in mind, walked meekly before God the Father, was obedient to him, to even to where he suffered crucifixion to the point of death. That's what he's talking about in our life. That's what Jesus is talking about. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That kind of meekness. Look at verse 3, the run right above it. This fleshes out this way. Look at this. Humility of mind, Jesus didn't assert his right to equality with God. He walked in meekness toward God, the Father, gentle toward you. Look at verse 3. Do nothing, here's the word of God, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. Now you can see that right there is saying, don't be prideful and do nothing to make this about your life, about what you get and what you have. You understand who you are and you got the grace of God, the mercy of God. You understand that you're a sinner. You're mourning over your sin. You are walking humbly before God because you recognize who you are. So you're not doing anything conceited. You're not doing anything selfish. But with humility of mind, with meekness, regard one another as more important than yourself. Gentleness. There it's fleshed out in the New Testament, how you live it. Obviously, we got to follow the Lord. Obviously, got to depend upon God. Obviously, we got to be obedient, submission to our authority. One more. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. Is this kind of capturing? You guys seeing the flow here? Seeing how this works? This is what Jesus is talking about. This Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes, first things he's teaching. Happy or content is the soul of the people that are this way. They're kingdom people. This is what God's doing in their life. I don't live any of this perfectly. God is at work in my life. This has been a fun week dealing with meekness. I started Monday and studying it and then looking at definitions and pulling it out. And it's like, okay, yeah, I wasn't meek there and I wasn't gentle to someone there. And it's because I wasn't meek here. And then it was because I was sinning and I didn't even really care. And then I was not walking humbly before the Lord. Wow, it's been a fun week. This is really good. But you know what? As God showed me and I learned, it's like, oh, wow, there's a contentment in my life. There's nothing greater than to be content in the Lord in this life. He's in charge. His providence is bringing about his plan and purpose. Nothing I can do about it anyway. But just walk with the one that's in charge. My whining, my moaning, my crying, my negativity, my beseeching the Lord to change everything in life so I'm not stretched or struggling or something's difficult. Poor in spirit, Ken. He's got a greater work than my life going on, but he cares about me and is intimate with me, walks with me, helps me deal with my wrong thoughts and sin, and you can see how these, as we build them up, how they really confront the world. We're going to get there. 1 Peter chapter 2, look with me at beginning in verse 18. One more little illustration here. with our understanding of meekness towards God, about yourself, and gentleness towards others, listen to the word of God. Peter writes this, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and gentle, but also with those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of consciousness toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly." Favor, comfort, contentment, the things that we're looking at that God brings to those who belong to the kingdom of God. "For what credit is there when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience?" There's no credit. There's nothing from God. "But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it patiently enduring it, this finds favor with God." Did you hear what he said? You see it. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to commit my way to you. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to forsake anger and hatred. Psalm 37, right? You are at work. I know it. I trust in it. I believe it. And all of this will grow my faith, will grow my relationship with you, will make me more Christ-like, which is all going to bring you glory, which is what all this is about. Peter's talking about how to handle it when you have some difficult things going on. Look at verse 21 through 23. Here's the example of meekness to follow. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." There you go. And from Matthew 5, Jesus says, "For they shall inherit the earth." What's that mean? I don't own the earth, do you? Be nice. We'd probably mess it up, right? What's he talking about? "They shall inherit the earth." What's that mean? Well, inherit means it will be given to you, not something you earn or deserve. It's an inheritance. You know what an inheritance is. It's just yours because you belong to the one who owns it. Right? He said, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those walk in poor in spirit, humbly before God, dressing and mourning over their sin, walking meekly before God, trusting in what's going on in the world and what's happening in this world, that God's providence is going on. Yes, we can pray. Yes, we can beseech, but there's a meekness before God that you're not in charge. You are never in charge anyway, and that you're really not changing anything anyway. Life is happening. You're participating in what God is doing, but I'll commit my way to him, follow him, love him, let him teach me, grow me, mature me. You hear what I'm talking about, right? And one day, all that's going to belong to you is all that he owns. That's what he's talking about. How much do you fight for a little piece of dirt on this planet, okay? Or a little better car, or a little more better windows in your house, or a little better. How much does your life get consumed with the things that are on this earth? And nothing wrong with having these things. I'm not against all of that. But how much of your life is consumed with what he has already promised you'll inherit? This is a time that we live in. This is a church age. There's something going on here, not about owning something, because you already own it. Amen? That's what he's talking about, to try to help us, to try to pull us out of what the enemy says the world's about. Psalm 37, 29 says, "The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The only righteousness that we have is imputed or imparted to us from Jesus Christ. You have none of your own. You never will have any of your own. You only belong to the one that owns it all because of Christ. Those who belong to God's kingdom by grace will inherit the earth, the land, God's eternal existence." In a sense, you own it now. 2 Corinthians 6:20, the Apostle Paul says, "We walk through this life as having nothing, yet possessing everything." Do you know that one day in God's economy, in God's providence, in God, new heaven and earth, and all that, you are going to have your physical body, physical life, you're going to own it all. You're going to have it all. There won't be any enemy having any of it. There won't be fretting over wrongdoing. That's God's plan. I know here is here, but there's a reality of what Jesus is speaking about. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21 through 23, the Apostle Paul says, no one boasts in men because salvation is by him, from him, no place for us to boast about ourselves, but all things belong to you, to those who belong to God's kingdom. All things, he says it in the indicative active verb. He's saying it right now in 1 Corinthians 3. All things belong to you, whether the world or life or things present or things to come. And all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. That's reality, folks. That's reality. The enemy is a liar. The enemy's doing what he's doing. You're going to get inherited all, not here. Not in this dispensation, not in this church age. As Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5, our inheritance awaits us, is guarded and protected by God. It's ours because we are heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. What is his is and will be ours. Blessed are the meek, happy and content in their soul, Jesus says. We certainly should be, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for just moving one beatitude down farther. The richness and depth and how profound all this is that Christ is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. At the moment that he's giving it, what's there, 12 guys that really see? 11 really. But in your plan and purpose, you set out these truths. The truths of the gospel, the truth of transformed life, the truths of who we are before the Lord and who God makes us before the Lord. All of these things you set out to begin to teach them and come and pay the price to bring them all to reality. Your resurrection proves they're all reality. Our life is a testimony that they're the reality. That's what we're doing, Lord. We're studying your word, asking you to help us walk in the reality of who we are in Christ and in his kingdom. We thank you and praise you. In your name, amen.